right, welcome everybody. It is the Conway and Steckler Show, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. Nice to see you, my good buddy, Douglas Morrison Steckler from South Dakota. Look at you. His mic's not working.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, can we frigging fix this?
Dougie, please.
God damn, am I getting tired of this?
It's just a button.
You know, bounced around to every frigging different time slot, and then we frigging show up for work, and they can't even frigging fix the frigging board. God damn it. Get your frigging act together here. Chris, Richard, you frigging tons of fun. You with the frigging Pete Rose hairdo. Get your engineering asses in here and lock this off. I'm not doing this anymore.
Steckler is leaving.
You sons of bitches. You frigging sons of bitches. Fix this frigging booth. I'm going to kick your ass all the way to China.
Wow. What a way
God
to start
damn
off, huh?
You mother effing sons of bitches.
Keep along, little doggies. I'll take the
Get
coffee.
It done.
Oh, no. Steckler's leaving now. He's leaving the booth.
Get it done.
He's not coming.
Oh, boy. He's not coming back. Unbelievable. All right, folks. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. Brian Whitman is not sick, but in studio, at least for the first hour, see how long he can stand this stuff. Is one of the most talented writers in all of show business. He has worked on The Simpsons. You've also worked on Tracy Ullman, Malcolm in the Middle. What else you got
Frasier.
There? Frasier. Yeah, of course, Frasier. Everybody loves Raymond. Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Kogan, nice to see you, man.
Hi, nice to see you, Tim.
Yeah, look at you, dude. All right, we have you in here to talk about the big writer's strike, obviously. You're on strike. You're a captain. I don't know what that means or how you become captain, but
I think they look at you and they see I'm material. I'm captain material. Okay. Just like the Army.
All right. It's a big position, but you're out there and you're in charge of a strike group.
Yes. I've got now 35 people under my care.
Right. Which sounds like you're in like the Army or the Navy. You're in charge of a strike group.
Yeah. It's like Omaha Beach out there.
Right.
I mean, we're just everybody pulls their Jaguar up, and if they can make it to the sidewalk, then they're part of the group. Yeah.
All right. Now, you're in charge of the group striking over at CBS Radford.
I'm charge of my group, but there's a whole group. A lot of captains have to come, and so that there's, you know, 100 people there or hundreds of
people.
Oh,
I see. Okay. Anybody interesting on your team?
Gene Wilder.
Is
actually
that right?
Gene Wilder, young Frankenstein,
big,
you know, fantastic. His number, you know, he's on my team. They gave me a phone number. I called it wrong number. So I've not gotten a hold of Gene Wilder.
So the Writers Guild doesn't have his number?
No. Joel Schumacher, famous director writer.
Oh, is he out there?
Yeah. I have wrong number. Can't get a hold of him.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see these guys almost every day at the Ivy if you want, but you couldn't get a hold of them to strike with you. All right. Also on the phone, we have another very talented guy, a great writer, also a great director. If you've seen Ruthless People, Blind Date, and My Cousin Vinny, this man is responsible, Dale Lauder. Dale, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right, doing fantastic.
Good.
I don't know if you know Jay Kogan here from Frasier and Simpsons and Tracy Ullman, but this is Dale Lauder.
Dale.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Now, I talked to Dale earlier off the phone, and I said I understand from a mutual friend of mine that you are for this strike, and Dale said, no, I'm not for the strike at all. And I said, oh, no, another one of these guys who said, you know, we'll take any deal. And he says, no. I'm for burning the studios down.
I'm for rounding up with torches and getting a little more extreme with the whole thing.
Is that one of our demands, Dale? Burning the studio down?
No. I don't think we're demanding enough. And
probably should be, though,
sort of my stance on this whole thing. So.
Well, now, if you could tell us guys that are, us guys that are not in the Writers Guild, what's the big sticking point in this strike?
It depends who you're talking to, and I don't have a tremendous expertise on the details of this strike.
I think
Jake would probably know better than I do. But I'm pretty sure it boils down to, at least as far as I'm concerned,
money?
DVD.
DVD. All
right. And if you look at the past, now I believe it's Jake, is that right?
It's Jay, yes. Dale, you know, don't pretend. We know each other for many, many years. Gone on vacations together. Now suddenly...
Yeah, you guys go to Vegas all the time.
Caving, yeah.
So sad.
Jay knows some of the details because he's like an actual strike captain.
DVD is one of the issues. We now get 3 to 4 cents a DVD. We were asking for a whopping 8 cents a DVD.
Right.
And probably willing to settle somewhere between 3 and 8 cents. But
that's
they've
eight
said
cents per unit. That's not 8%.
Right, 8 cents for a DVD that costs anywhere from $21 to $29.
Yeah,
you know.
That's bupkis.
But we're
and they won't pay bupkis.
No, they
won't. Won't pay more than four.
And that pisses me off, and I'm lighting my torch right now.
But that's sort of like, you know, old news. DVDs is old news because we think the future is people downloading the stuff right to their computers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're much more concerned about the formula for how we get paid about that. Showing stuff on the internet and showing stuff, getting stuff downloaded. What percentage of that do we get? Now, they don't even have to have a box. They don't even have to have a DVD, a disc. They just have to put it up somewhere and somebody will download it. So their cost is almost nothing.
Yeah, there's no distribution. There's no warehousing. Right. There's no stamping,
and there's no retail. There's nothing.
Offering.
It's direct. It's direct to the consumer, and you guys are not getting anything on those?
Zero. Right now, we get nothing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that doesn't sound like a good deal.
No, it's not a great deal.
No, it could be worse. They could bill us for it.
All right. But I don't remember who I was talking to this afternoon, but I made the point of if you went to any 7-Eleven in Southern California and you saw a homeless guy there and the guy says, hey, you got a couple of bucks, and you gave him 4 cents, he'd throw it back at you. The homeless guy who doesn't want 4 cents.
Right.
And that's what they're paying the writers who create all this material.
And what's really humiliating, they do give it to us in a give a penny, take a penny tray.
Yeah.
So that's so sad.
All right. Now, I understand that this strike, any predictions on how long it's going to go on?
Only a fool would predict. So will predict.
You will predict.
No, I actually don't know. I thought maybe last night they were going to avoid the strike completely. They had big gun John Wells come in and talk to the producers and everybody, calm everybody down. And what happened was nothing.
I don't know if you want to go public with this, but what was your opinion on how well John Wells handled the last negotiation?
I think that Well, two things. I don't think he did a great job, but not necessarily his fault. The will of the guild wasn't there to have a big fight.
Is it here this time?
It's hugely there this time.
Is that right?
The guild, everybody is unanimously angry at the studios.
Right.
Everybody. And this is weird. Both movie and usually TV guys are against the movie guys because we want different things.
Right.
Now we all want the same thing. We all want this internet stuff affects us all.
Okay, gang, we're talking to two very big writers in Hollywood, Jay Kogan, also Dale Lawner. And if you have any questions about the strike, perhaps you're in the Writers Guild of America yourself, here are the phone numbers of the station, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, Jay, you were on The Simpsons for how many years?
5 seasons.
And you still get residuals for stuff you wrote there.
I do, but based on the fact that Sam Simon made 20th Century Fox sign a contract that equated our deal with a Writers Guild deal. The show was not Writers Guild at the time.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so he protected all the writers by making them do that.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
All right. So you made – how much money have you made, if you don't mind me asking? Because I think you revealed to us last week on The Simpsons.
Well, the DVD –
Just
was
the DVD.
The DVDs, which have sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 million units.
Right.
I have made over $3,000.
Is that right?
Yes.
What'd you do with it all?
Well, you know, part of it I put in a fund. Another part I put towards a car. You know, another part I bought a yacht. You know, so I mean,
but that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, 15 or whatever billion dollars The Simpsons has made, and you get $3,000?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a sweet $3,000, though.
Yeah.
When that check comes and you see every kid wearing a Bart Simpson something and you know that this is what you're getting.
Yeah, you get nothing. Yeah. Now, when
you know, it's kind of funny for a writer, you go out to the mailbox and you get this green envelope and you get excited.
Right.
And you come back and you open it up and you take it out and then you start getting angry. That's what happens.
Every time.
Kind of like, that's it?
Yeah. You know what I always thought was a really tremendous insult? And again, Jay Kogan and Dale Lawner with us. That there's a bar over in Studio City called Residuals. And if you take your residual check there and it's worth less than a dollar, they'll take your check and they'll give you a free drink for it. And then they take your check and they put it on the wall. And it's almost like, yeah, we gave you a drink, but we're going to show everybody what an a-hole you are by putting your check up on the wall.
Right.
I would make that exchange. I have no problem with that.
But I've seen some of the residual checks. I've never been in the Writers Guild, obviously, but I've seen some.
Obviously.
Yeah, from the actors. Yeah. And they're down to, you know, you get like three, you know, I got one for 12 cents sometime. You know,
yeah,
one time.
No, I've gotten a SAG.
Yeah.
Bad. Writers Guild ones don't get, there's a minimum they go down to.
Yeah.
It's not 2 cents.
Yeah. Right. And now, what is the, I mean, obviously DVDs, you guys want to revisit that and make more money there, but is the real sticking point the internet right now?
I think the future, like 10 years from now or 5 years from now, we don't know how soon, DVDs won't be sold anymore.
Right, that's probably true, right.
So why fight so much about that? Let's fight about the thing that's going to matter in the future.
Right.
But we'd love more money for the DVDs. I would personally like it, but... You know, this is about what's going to happen in the next 20 years. So right. We have to look further out than that.
Now, I also understand that, you know, that it may be, there may be some questions about how the studios operate. Because, for instance, you know, there could be an argument for a collusion. I mean, when you talk about, you know, all the big studios in town, they all have the same contract with you guys, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know how they managed to do that. But
yeah. That didn't happen in baseball. I mean, they you know, the Dodgers can't say we're only going to give you $1 million because that's the most the league will allow for a first baseman.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, there was a legal precedent with a baseball strike. I think it was back in the 80s where the... the baseball owners, the team owners, wanted to fix prices. And
right.
That was met with tremendous resistance by the courts.
Yeah, and imagine also with Congress as well, because that's like the only monopoly that the United States still protects is baseball.
Right.
I mean, so they have to watch what they're doing.
Right, yeah. And the United Auto Workers, like I was saying, negotiate, you know, company by company. They don't do it all at once.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm all for that. And that way I'd like to pick them off.
But we don't get that up.
I think that would make sense.
Right, but why haven't the writers, I mean, you know, I know, Dale, you've made some money. Jay Kogan here has $1 billion in his checking account. But I don't understand why some of the writers or writers haven't gotten together and started their own studio.
It's a good question.
You know?
I personally would like to see the Writers Guild do more to empower writers to either become producers or producers and not unlike producers at a studio.
But a lot of writers do become producers. I mean,
yeah.
They do. I mean, that's just the nature of things. If you become a powerful enough writer, then you become a producer. And
yeah, weren't you a producer on Frasier?
Yeah, I mean,
so you'd be actually striking against you.
Yes, yeah, so hyphenates have to actually go in and work, but not write. I'm supposed to produce.
I'm not signing that.
But not write. So you know, not edit, not write, not suggest new lines, but go in there and just.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what, because that's all I do.
Well, for anybody who's ever written even like a thank you note, you know how difficult it is to write. I mean, even when you know, your kid gets a gift for her birthday or his birthday, and you sit down and you write, you know, dear Uncle Wally, you know, thank you very much for the, you know, and then you start thinking, well, what should I say to this guy? You know, I can't even write an effing thank you note. And these guys are writing, you know, scripts for motion pictures and TV shows where they have to, you know, develop their own characters and then, you know, supply all those characters with words for an hour and a half.
And then write thank you notes to the studio afterwards, which is really the hardest part.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, folks, Dale Lawner's with us. Also, Jay Kogan. And let's talk to Tom here in Brentwood. Tom, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right.
Listen, you know, I don't want you to take this the wrong way because I support you, and I sure hope you get everything you ask for. But can you just answer this one question? You know, the people on the other side of the issue are going to say that you're not equity partners, and they're putting up the money, they're putting the capital at risk, and their position is going to be they hire you to do a service. You provide whatever it is, whether it be a script or you know, whatever's necessary.
Let's say a script.
Yeah, and right. Then they pay you for that service, and then why should you participate in any future earnings? You're not putting capital at risk. They're the ones that are doing the promoting and so on. So I'm just wondering.
Okay, It's a good question. What's your response?
Well, there are two reasons why we ask for residuals, and I guess eventually we got residuals.
Right.
The first reason is there's something in American law about intellectual property and copyright. When you write something, when I write something, I'm the author of that thing. And even though somebody's buying it, it's not like a cabinet where they're buying it and I kiss it goodbye.
Right.
I'm still the author of it, and I collect royalties just like
music.
Anybody who wrote a song or anybody came up with an idea for a painting. You know, Picasso owns the image, even if he sells the painting.
Right.
So there's something about intellectual property that's different legally in law. That's number one. Number two is we can demand this, and we have demanded it because we can, because they need the writers. It's not like we're that replaceable. I mean, any individual writer is replaceable, but we as a group are required for this thing to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't just train somebody and put them in the shop and say, okay, here's writing workshop.
Right.
Go, and then you become writers.
Yeah. It's not like, you guys work at a grocery store where they can train you for 2 hours to do what the guy does there. Although I now have, I'm very sympathetic towards grocery store workers because they deal with the biggest a-holes on the planet.
Absolutely.
With the coupons and the rain checks. And, bitching about what price it was set on the shelf and how much they're charging at the cashier. I mean, I think they're under more pressure than you guys.
I'm sure they are.
They deserve 4 cents every product.
I begrudge the grocery store clerks anything.
All right. Jake Hogan is with us. Also, Dale Lahner is with us as well. We're talking about the Hollywood strike. It's happening here in Los Angeles and in New York. Is it happening across the country?
Yeah, anywhere that people are supposed to be writing but not writing.
All right. Now, when you're picketing, like this morning at the Radford lot at CBS over there in Studio City, and some guy, let's say Paul Majors, who's on Channel 2 News, they do their news out of the Radford lot there. When he pulls up to the gate, does he stop there and wait for you guys to clear? Are you guys letting certain people through?
There's a little dance we do because we're legally not allowed to stop people from going in. We want to discourage them from going in, but we're not legally allowed. So we walk slowly across the driveway, staring at them and hoping that they turn around. Some people do.
Spit on their window or anything?
Oh, well, I do that anyway.
Or give them a look like I'm going anyway.
A few of us did, but most people, it's been a pretty polite thing so far.
Okay.
Let's talk to Sean here in Newport Beach. Sean, you're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Great. How you doing, guys? I definitely do support your cause. And I just wanted to call in. I read something on the internet last night and explained the whole story, but it talked about the movie studios, how they are going to actually benefit if you guys strike. I could be totally wrong, just from what I read, how they have enough reruns to last them for a while, and not only that, but they're also going to save money in the future because I guess they lose a lot of money, all the pilots they have to produce, and only a few get in, so they supposedly have to spend a lot of money that they're not going to have to now because of the strike. So it seems like a win-win for the studios, and I was wondering what you guys think about that.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, let me just.
I think that's a lot of bluster.
Yeah,
is what that is.
They don't.
I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to live off of putting on reruns and bad reality shows?
Well, that's the other thing. There's no rule that says they have to have a pilot season. They do. They have a pilot season because they want to. Because they want to develop pilots and hit shows. There's no advantage to them if they decided that it was economically advantageous to not do it. They wouldn't do it. I don't think that's true. I think if they run out of shows in January, that's their first sweeps month. And then sweeps month is a big advertising month for them. If they don't have new shows, they lose a ton of money there.
So that's November. This is sweeps month now, right?
Right. But they have shows now, but in January is a big sweeps month. So people stop watching TV for some reason around Christmas time and then start again in January. So they need new shows in January. We're preventing that. And then the other backlog of scripts for movie scripts I think is also not true. They expected us to strike in June. And they were expecting to have, from November to June to backlog a bunch of scripts so they wouldn't be bothered by a strike.
Oh, I see. All right.
But
you know what's amazing, though? And again, Dale Lahner's with us, also Jake Hogan. Talking about the Writers Guild strike here in Southern California. But it really truly is amazing how there's so much disrespect for talent in certain people. Like, for instance, I was listening to watching Larry King the other day. I don't know if you saw this, but Jerry Seinfeld was on with Larry King. And, Seinfeld was the number one show. 75 million people saw the final episode. And Larry King, who seems to be like a pretty knowledgeable guy, had asked Jerry Seinfeld this. Listen to this.
And they put us on Thursday. We went from 58 to 4 in 1 week. And that was it. And then we started doing better than Cheers. And And then I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did, sir.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN?
Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also.
You would.
But, yeah, no, I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were.
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers. Last episode.
Were you? Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, that's great. We'll be right. That is that truly is amazing, though. I mean, you know, again, the most popular show on the planet. Larry King goes, "Were you canceled?"
Well, actually, you know, Larry was saying like he was trying to make a point, but Jerry wouldn't give him any room there. I think
that's so great. All right, we got to take a break. Dale, can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right, Dale Lahner is with us. Also, Jay Kogan. These guys are two of the top writers here in Hollywood, and the Writers Guild is on strike. If you have any questions about it, perhaps it's affecting your life as well. A lot of people are going to be affected by the strike. They said up to about 50% of people who live in Southern California are going to be affected by the strike. It is the Conway Whitman Show. Whitman is out. Jay Kogan's in studio, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Brian Whitman is actually observing the WGA strike today.
Thank goodness.
And he has not come into work, into a CBS radio. But Jay Kogan is with us. Also, Dale Lahner is on the phone. He is. These are two big-time Hollywood writers who have made lots of the things that you've seen on TV.
Dale, you're bigger than I am, right?
No, you're big in TV.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Now, is TV better for residuals than movies?
I would have to be.
We don't know. We have to compare.
I think TV's pretty good. There's a never-ending stream of money that comes from working on a show that's syndicated well, like The Simpsons or Everybody Loves Raymond. But I imagine that Ruthless People and is constantly shown in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and all that.
Now, Jay just told me off the air here that when they show a movie of yours, Dale, on an airplane, you don't get any money for that?
We don't.
That's what I understand.
I said when they show an episode of Frasier,
shows. Oh, I see.
I don't get any money for that. That's considered promotion.
Oh, I see. All right. So if and they do show a lot of TV now.
They show a movie, and then after the movie, they show like five TV shows.
Right.
We don't get paid for any of them.
It's a good place to catch up on your sitcoms. So
by showing it, that's great promotion to show it completely, the entire episode for free is a good promotion.
Yeah. I remember being on a plane ride back from New York or Chicago, and I believe it was, what was the movie about the bridges of
Madison County,
yeah. And Doug Steckler said there was so much estrogen coming off that screen, he actually broke his hip watching it. All right, let's talk to Luke here on the 405. Luke, you're on 97.1 Free FM. Jay Kogan and Dale Lahner join us. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Hey, Conway. Love you, man.
You're the best.
I had a question. I'm a young writer that I recently, off of a spec that I wrote, I recently got hired on by a major production company that has a deal on one of the major lots to do an adaptation of a foreign movie. foreign movie. So I'm unsigned and I'm unrepped right now, but I'm going ahead and doing it for them. They said that after this next draft, I should seek representation, either management or agent, to handle like kind of the contract and financial, you know, how I'm going to get paid. Question is that post-strike, which it's going to end eventually.
Could I stop you there for a second? You're not getting paid for this draft you're writing?
No, it was hired on spec. It was kind of like, you know, this is your in type of thing.
Yeah, but you're not a member of the union, right?
No, I'm not. So I know I'm doing it legally.
Well, no, I'm actually looking out for you, sir. I mean, you're writing something for a producer. You've been given an assignment, and they're not paying you.
Right. Kind of like once if his boss, like, they renewed the option based on the first draft I did, so I know they're serious.
Right. So what's your question about the strike?
A post-strike, and it's going to end eventually, being like a new writer, the studio is just going to get flooded with, you know, calls from agents who already rep their writers? Am I just going to get shuffled under the rug? Is this a good time for a young writer to try to really?
You're already being shuffled under the rug right now. you're literally being shuffled under the rug.
You're at the bottom of the deck, buddy. Yeah.
But what's going to happen if the strike lasts many, many months? If it's anything like 1988, which I was a member of the Writers Guild,
which lasted how long?
5 months.
5 months.
At the end of 5 months, there were tons and tons of scripts. That people had spec scripts that people had written.
Right. Now, do you assume, I'm not talking about you or Dale Lawner, but do you assume that most writers will be writing during the strike and be ready to go once the strike is over?
Yeah,
sell
I would think.
Oh, sure. It's time to get that spec you've been thinking of doing.
Right. All right. Yeah. Luke, there's your answer. I feel bad.
Yeah, go write a spec.
Yeah, I feel bad. The guy's writing for free.
Don't write for free, Luke. The time to get an agent is now. Actually, it's not now because we're on strike. But time to get an agent was when you got the assignment and they said, okay, well, how much will you pay me to write it?
Right. But, I mean, you can understand these guys. They're so hungry. They just get in show business. They'll do anything for it.
No, I get it. But he wrote
we've all done that once when we're young and dumb.
Right.
And you walk away from that realizing what a schmuck you were.
Take some penicillin and move on.
Right.
I have a good story about that, but I can't tell you on the public airwaves.
All right, perfect. Excellent. Can you tell us off the air and we'll repeat it on the air?
Yeah, it's a great one. It's great.
Okay.
It's a great story.
All right, let's talk to Ander here on the 5 Freeway. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Great to listen to you.
Thanks.
Here's the thing. On the radio earlier on a different station, it was on the news and they were commenting about the strike, and a producer's rep or a producer came on and said, "Well, I don't know what they're complaining about. The average writer makes $200,000 a year." Is that statistic can't be correct? And if it is, I'm in the wrong business. But you know, what's your comment on that? I mean, isn't there people out there who are just kind of making a nickel here, a dime there, and then there's like a gradation of people from the most
slow year, actually.
Yeah. $200,000 a year.
Well, there are 12,000 writers in the Writers Guild, East and West. So, and there are some writers who get $1 million a script, right? Or $2 million or $5 million, a David Kep. I don't know what he makes, you know, but these guys get a lot of money in scripts. So the average may be $200,000.
Yeah,
but that's like most people are not working. The ones that are get minimum mostly, and then there are some that make a fortune.
Where did that figure come from? That seems ridiculously high.
Yeah, Ander, where'd you hear that that figure?
It was on a different radio station.
What radio station?
It was reported on San Diego radio station WKGB, and they had like a news break, and they basically were interviewing people from the Guild, and then they had on, you know, kind of like a tit for tat thing, and the producer came on and said, well, you know, it seems like they're nitpicking here because the average writer in Hollywood makes $200,000.
Right. Well, and also
he pulled that out of his, and I can't say it.
Right.
I
mean, that's, you can say yes. Yeah, sure. You can.
But also, even if that were true, and I'm not sure that it's exactly true, even if that were true, that's maybe what they're making now. The problem is how writers make their money now and how they're going to make it in the next 5 years, 10 years will change completely. And so the producers are saying, what are they complaining about? This is what we're complaining about. Pretty soon, everybody's going to get everything from the internet. There's TV networks are dying. You know, the theatrical release of movies is very difficult these days. So that's what we're complaining. We're complaining about how we're going to get paid in the future.
Yeah, I've seen the technology. I was down at the company that does our website, VPI.net, and they showed me the box that you can buy for $249, and you don't even need a computer. You just need this box, and you can order movies through the box, and then you can keep them on your DVR, and they keep them for a week, or you can pay more money and keep them for, you know, forever, and just keep them on this one hard drive.
Is this a magic box, Tim?
Yeah. And it's amazing that you know, technology is moving so fast that in 5 years nobody will be going to a DVD store to buy a DVD.
I think not. I think that's the problem. So even if writers are doing that great now, and I don't think they are, but even if they were, to keep us, you know, that rich, $200,000 a year, then we have to find a new way to get paid.
I think there's something else for us to be concerned too, which is the competency of the studios to protect not only what their library, but our assets too. Now, if we're going to be making money off of these projects, and they are downloadable on the internet, I'd like to think that they're going to protect us. And looking at the performance of the music studios, who repeatedly shot themselves in the foot and have crippled their own industry through their own foolishness.
How did they do that?
By failing to anticipate downloading on the internet.
Right.
And
file sharing,
There's two things they did. One, it became so commonplace that and they tried to basically put their head in the sand and ignore it. They did not try to police it at all. They didn't go after anybody. They were just very slow to react to it. And I'd like to think the studios, I'm tired of going out and seeing guys hawking DVDs, which are obviously pirated. And how difficult can it be to stop that?
Right.
It's not that difficult.
Well, you know, I went to that's a good point. I actually went to buy software from a friend of mine said he's got a great program for audio editing. And I said, what is it? I'm going to go, buy it at, across the street at Office Max. Whatever. He goes, oh, I'll just run you off a copy. I said, well, I'll buy it. I don't want, the guy, I'll be the one a-hole on the planet who the cops, come in and arrest for it, right? And so the $60 doesn't mean that much. I'm going to go buy it. And he says, nobody buys it anymore. And, all of a sudden I'm the schmuck because I'm buying, something still, nowadays. But he says nobody pays for music or movies or anything nowadays.
They don't. A lot of people just take them and steal them. And I think Dale's absolutely right. The music industry wanted to hold on to their music and not actually have it available online for people because and they waited so long that kids decided we'll make it available.
Well, also, another thing they did, which was stupid, is they kept I'm not sure what language we can use on the radio, but basically they get
you have to abbreviate everything outside of ass, I think.
Okay.
You can use F.
Can I say that? No.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't say the whole F word, but you can use the letter.
They kept effing.
No, you can use
the
that.
The artists. Repeatedly, over and over, by not giving them just a little reasonable chunk of the profit from CDs. To the point that when people started stealing the music, what happened is all the recording artists secretly, although they weren't happy about not getting that money, they weren't getting that much money anyways.
Right.
So a lot of them were secretly like the idea that the studios were taking it, the recording companies were taking it in the shorts, right?
Oh, right, yeah, sure.
I mean, they were really getting hurt, and they're getting hurt bad. So what happened is some of them just said, well, the hell with it. We'll just release the music for free.
Right.
Because we make all our money off touring because the record companies can't F them that way.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot of people, as I said before, I'm the schmuck, the one last schmuck who buys things. But then again, when I go to sleep at night, I don't think, the guy's going to bust through the door and say, hey, And I think these guys, listen, I think that, the writers deserve a lot of money. If you've ever sat down in front of a computer with a blank screen or a typewriter, it's the toughest thing on the planet to do. It really is.
But I buy it just because I want to be able to call the helpline. Right. And they say, well, what's your registration number? And then you're like, bah, bah, bah.
Right. All right, Jake Hogan is with us. He's written on The Simpsons, Tracy Ullman, Malcolm in the Middle, of course, Frasier and News Radio. Dale Lawner is with us from Ruthless People. He wrote Ruthless People, also My Cousin Vinny, and Blind Date, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels as well. And if you want to, you got a question about the writer's strike, the Writers Guild of America is on strike right now. And it looks like it might be a fairly long one. They're not even talking right now. Is that true?
I think they're always talking, but they're not officially talking.
Not officially talking. Okay. All right. It's the Conway and Whitman Show. Whitman is out tonight, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Brian Whitman is out sick tonight. He said he was, I can't really say on the air what he said to me off the air, but he said he was not feeling well.
He's sick a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's missed a couple of days.
Yeah. Yeah. So right. Is he well? Is there some problem with his health?
I think he's just a complex guy, but he's a very funny guy. He's just needs to take care of his health better, and I'm not the guy to speak, but he is 10 years younger than I am. Right. All right, Jake Hogan is with us, also Dale Lawner, two very talented guys. If you've gone to the movies or watched TV, You've come across their work, and they are two of the members of the WGA, the Writers Guild of America, who are on strike, and they're looking to, you know, for more or even some initial profit off of the internet and the computer, you know,
just
age.
Being paid for anything in terms of they're showing our stuff right now.
Right.
They're charging advertising. There is no, they pay us nothing.
Right. And I've known Jay probably since we were about six or seven years mm-hmm. old. And our father.
I was demanding internet profits back then.
Yeah, I know. And we kept saying, "What's the internet?"
Yeah. Yeah. I said, "You'll see."
But I know you, and I know that you know you're a you got a big heart, and especially now that you got you got a kid. And you got two kids or one?
One kid.
But I know that you also, I'm sure, feel for all the other people who have been put out of work.
Oh my God, this is the hard. I mean, well, it's hard for us because we're not making any money right now. But we know we're going to shut down shows and shut down production all around town. We're going to shut down caterers, and this is, we've been forced into this position, and it's just awful. We really, really, really was hoping that the producers would make us any kind of offer, but since they made no offer at all, they backed us into the strike. They want us to strike. Right. I don't know why, what their plan is, but this is where we're at.
I think they're planning to starve us out.
Maybe break the union, starve us out.
I think that's what they want to do.
Is that a possibility to break the union?
That's always a possibility.
Sure.
But isn't that, I mean, like a real long, wouldn't that take years, though?
I don't know. If you were out of work for 9 months, a year, that would be pretty desperate times for most people.
I could do it.
Could you?
Yeah. I could go for a couple of years, easily.
Look at you. Yeah, but you're living in a van.
We all can.
where are you living? Come on.
I want the studios to think we could go forever. We don't need them.
Yeah, well, I think the will to strike is for a long time, but I don't know how long.
Wow. I also think we should look into alternative things. I think maybe
like pot,
writer,
selling
pot.
Weed, yeah. Or putting together your own studio. I mean, you guys have enough.
Listen, Wall Street, there's plenty of money there.
Yeah,
plenty of money.
Interesting.
You know, why not go to them? Why do we have to listen to these? I gotta say, I hate to say this, but idiots at the studio.
Well, you know, I was talking to Jay off the air, and this is what I don't understand about Hollywood, and I never have, and I probably won't ever even get close to it. But a guy who works for the Ford Motor Company, and his job is to put the radio into the Ford Focus, and that's all he does. He may never meet the president or the upper management or the white collar workers who work for the Ford executives, but you guys work with these guys every day. And that's what I don't understand, how they can, you know, like, screw you guys and also be friends with you guys. I'm sure you're friends with a lot of these guys, too.
Well, you know,
it's
Sumner Redstone and I summer vacation together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awkward, I must say.
All right, Dale, thanks for coming on. Hope we can check in with you again.
Great.
All right, take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right, Dale Lawner, everybody. And also, Jay Kogan, thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
And if people want to see you, where will you be out tomorrow? Radford?
You're going in front of Radford Studios, Ventura and Radford. I'll be there eating donuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Okay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting in the corner.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay. All right, Jay Kogan, everybody. We have news coming up. Also, Malibu Dan is coming on at 10 o'clock. With his good friend Nate, and that should be interesting. If you guys remember, they're songwriting partners, and they write the worst crap on the planet. And I think they have another song to irritate Southern California with. It is the Conway Whitman Show. Whitman is out, not feeling well tonight, and we're on 97.1 Free FM. Look at that. Whoa.